WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of September 11th and 12th, and a happy new year to all. We all realize in a parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when a season opens, indeed cause for a New Year's celebration. The early bow season for deer opens today and is going on in select DMZs, deer management zones around the state. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. Check on the press release there, and the map from the digest is printed online. All the information is there. Remember, earn a buck, so you must shoot an antlerless, doe or a button buck first before you can get a buck. And the exception is for the youth hunters. They can get a buck if one comes under the tree or by the blind, et cetera, ad infinitum. Word about the digest, heard from Dave Golden, Director of Fish and Wildlife, that the digest is rather delayed. The hard copy won't be out for, couldn't give us a date. But again, the digest is online. Now, I am the most cyberly computer declined person you will ever meet, and even I'm able to get the way through it. All the rules and regulations, bag limits, etc., are there. The Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Lottery application period is open for this month. Those are for the blinds on the Tuckahoe track. Tremendous waterfowl hunting down there. Okay, it's open during the month. Again, go to njfishandwildlife.com. Click on the Tuckahoe Lottery application. The form is there. Get it in because it is going to fill up. September goose season is still going on. Limit 15 birds. Electronic calls allowed. Unplugged shotguns, no more than 7 shells. And the magic. Shooting time till a half hour after sunset. Yeah, a lot of stuff is happening. Keep this on your calendar. It's about a month out, a little more than a month. Saturday, October 9th at the Red Wings Sporting Clays Range here in Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Shout out to Roger Guybers and Danny 2, as I call him, Young Dan, although Young Dan is not bigger than Old Dan. It's a great course, great sporting clays course. You get that wind on some of those stands, you get that wind coming off the Mullica, man. Those birds got a mind of their own. It's going to be Saturday, October 9th. It starts at 9 a.m. It's going to be a $75 donation. Person includes 100 rounds of sporting clays. Shuttle over 15 stations. Lunch, cold beverages, all that. New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, njoa.org, for more information on that. Before we get to our first guest, I'm too excited. Too much stuff going on here. The fishing, the hunting, too much stuff going on here for Tom P's little mind. Register early for the youth pheasant hunt because, again, the spaces, I mean, they get snapped up real fast. It's going to take place October 30th. Now, Youth Archery Day is going to be coming up in a few weeks. Yeah, again, back to the pheasants. So, okay, properly licensed and supervised youth hunters have the opportunity to hunt one of the wildlife management areas stocked specifically for the program, and division puts out big numbers of ringnecks, and it's a great program. Registration closes October 15th. You want to get a youngster involved in this, please do. It's a great, great program. Great hunting, great dog handlers. And there's also bonuses where birds are stocked on other wildlife management areas. Again, after 12, you can go on there, not supervised, but an opportunity for the youngsters to experience the great stocked pheasant hunting opportunities available in New Jersey. Coming up, Captain Lou Van Berg and Miss Born to Get Light. Party Boat Tuna. The bite is on. Grab that cup, grab that rub. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Okay, here's the dealio on the saltwater front. Counting today, the 11th, 9 days remaining until the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke season, draws to a close. And it's been on the overall, my informal polls going everywhere from Monmouth County down to Cape May and up and around, has been a really good, bordering on excellent season. Okay, now it's going to be a 28-day gap before the sea bass season reopens October 8th, where it goes back to, 10 fish, 12.5-inch minimum. In between, no one seems to be paying attention to a building fishery. Granted, very limited scope, and believe me, I've done it a few times. It's an acquired taste. The offshore tuna, that bite is on. You have yellowfin out there, and longfin have just arrived. So I got to report a little bit farther north up in the Hudson. So the tuna season is on. Now, there are several party boats sailing for tuna. in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. It is the big and badassly beautiful Miss Barnegat Light, 1801 Bayview Avenue in Barnegat Light. Party boat, tuna fishing is a whole different game, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me on that one. Joining us live on the line right now is Captain Lou Van Bergen from the Miss Barnegat Light. Some do's and don'ts and how to maximize. It's going to be pricey. It's going to be a little bit expensive. But how to maximize your opportunities along the party boat rails when it comes to what is now primarily yellowfin tuna. Captain Lou, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you doing, little brother?
Good, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, man. It's yellowfin season out there in the canyons, and the Miss Barnegat Light is selling what, on weekends, Lou?
Yep, we start the 11th of September, and we go all the way through to the end of October. So we're geared up and ready to go.
And Lou, the reports I've been getting in farther north out of Brielle, Belmore, that area there, they are doing pretty well when they are making the offshore runs. There's some tile fish involved there, but it's primarily a yellowfin bite, but longfin have showed. Now, that's an early run. They'll probably show up more naturally later in the month of September. But, Lou, you guys are geared, locked, cocked, and ready to rock. Is it a primarily yellowfin game for the Miss Barnegat Light?
Well, we're opportunistic. You know, it's just a canyon trip. You know, we try to bill it as a canyon trip. You know, we made a decision a couple of years ago to basically forego our, 22-hour or 21-hour trips. Simply because you're kind of limited in what you can do a lot of times with those shorter trips. And, we do 30-hour, and I would say 30-hour, but Captain Lenny likes to keep us out and do a little bit of overtime to make sure we put fish in the boat if we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, we make that trip, as fun and as possible, to fill the coolers as best we can. And, it's definitely yellowfin. Like you said early on, we love to see the longfin. When the longfin start to bite, the albacore, it's usually you can get them jigging, you can get them coming fast, hot, and heavy, and that's usually a really good fishery when we can get that going. Like you said, usually when the water starts to cool, they start to flood in. But if they're coming now, that's welcome news to our ears. We'd love to see them as much as possible.
Well, then to me, an absolutely luscious bonus, rather, Captain Lou, is the mahi. Didn't you guys score well on some mahi hits last year?
Well, it's definitely last year not so much because we had the fish at the triples.
We fished
there during the daytime, and then we would make our way out to the canyon once the sun set. Fish for swordfish primarily, and then come back in and then before the sun came up for the day bite again in the triples. So it was a little bit of a different season last year. We fished the canyon our last trip, and it was more of a traditional trip, do a little tile fishing during the daytime, before the sunset, we got ourselves anchored up. And, we had that typical, long night where you're waiting for the bite to happen. And,
right.
And the bite did happen for us. And it was, worked out in the end. But, this year it seems to be a little bit more traditional.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's the inshore spots, but they kind of seem to be, hot and cold and stuff like that. But, with the mahi, that's really, part of our game plan. How do we want to approach it? You mentioned tilefish, mahi, the tuna. I mean, it really gives you a good, the longer trip gives you a better opportunity to maximize your time out there for sure.
Yeah, join us on the line, Captain Lou Van Bergen, the Miss Barnegat Light, 1801 Bayview Avenue, up there in Barnegat Light. Topic is party boat tuna. Now, Lou, let's get to the brass tacks. I'm sure you've seen. And a lot of tuna guys are adept. They know what to bring, what not to bring, et cetera. But this the light tackle game now for tuna, especially on a spinning end, has become the rage. Actually, has been the past year or 2 years, whatever. Is it a scenario sometimes that you see, again, using the cliche because it's true, bringing a knife to a gunfight insofar as somebody's the size of somebody's yellowfin?
It's not so much the size of the yellowfin, but it's the environment in which you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The guys, the jigging and popping with the heavy spinning rod and it has its time and place. And, the 25 to 45 foot center consoles that are out there, they can do that when you have two or three guys on the boat and you can kind of, chase after a fish if you have to.
Right.
we're primarily anchored up and we're not chasing a fish. So, you're going to have to, put it in your gut or put it underneath your arm and really kind of muscle efficient. Now, it's not to say that, the lighter tackle, I wouldn't say it's lighter tackle, but the advances in tackle and rods and reels,
right.
is immense. From, you know, when I started doing this 30 years ago, everybody was using senators and roller guides and roller tips and everything else. And now you were fighting the rod as much as you were fighting the fish sometimes.
Right.
And now you can go ahead and fight a fish on relatively light tackle with a really, really strong reel. You know, for flat lining and jigging and popping, you can use braid on our boat. You know, so it gives you an advantage to basically really just fight the fish and not fight the rod so much. And I think it's important. So many times, you know, guys come and, you know, things change. You know, there's the evolution of the fishing industry, the fishing tackle industry,
right.
You know, is very quick. And, you know, it's important to look and see and learn from everybody that's on the boat, whether it be a mate or whether it be, you know, the high hook on the boat or the guy who's catching all the fish and everybody's scratching their head, getting upset. Why aren't I catching fish? Why am I not catching one?
Mm-hmm.
Watch and learn, you know, being observant is probably one of the most important things they can do.
Lou, some of the most common mistakes that you observe. Oh, well, one thing too, if I can get into this, I get the reports, kudos to the Fisherman Magazine, I'm still doing the offshore reports on, but you hear great bites, great this, a lot of action and X number of fish lost right at the boat or close to the boat. Again, angler error, tackle failure, a combination of both?
I would say most of the time, unfortunately, you're going to have to point the finger at the angler. You know, with
excuse
again,
me, he said that for my benefit.
Yeah. Well, you know, with a center console, again, you know, a medium sized boat offshore, you can kind of move around a lot quicker and there's not as many lines in the water, things like that. And, you know, we stress to our customers that, you know, basically, you know, if somebody's got a fish on next to you, you got to reel up and get out of the way. You know, so that we try to minimize that as best we can. You know, we always, you know, go back to the old adage, you know, do unto others as you would do to yourself or do them. So, you know, everybody kind of works together. We catch more fish. But, you know, when you get close to the boat, it's when the angler's most tired. The fish is at its most, you know, will do anything it can to get off of that hook and get back in the water and not end up in our brine tank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the biggest problems we see is guys get tired, they get sloppy, and, you know, next thing you know, the rod is you know, under their arm or they have it on the rail, which is fine when the fish is down deep and it's away from the boat a little bit. But, you know, when you get close, they're doing those tight circles. You got to get the rod out away from the boat. You know, we have an aluminum boat. It's, you know, aluminum versus mono, aluminum versus braid. It doesn't make much difference. You know, the line's going to chafe and it's going to basically break off.
Mm-hmm.
So really it's just a matter of, you know, kind of keeping your eyes on the prize and doing the right things and listening to what we're telling you to do sometimes. You know, there's definitely that tuna craze is a little bit different than most other, you know, fish frenzies. And, you know, people tend to kind of lose track of what's going on and right at the end there. They are tired and everything else. But and most of the time, it's just not listening, I think.
Right. And, Lou, especially the mates on your boat. I mean, these guys are pros, and they've seen it all. And it's amazing to me, and I've been guilty of this as well, you know, in the heat of the moment, not adhering to their advice or recommendations. And next thing you know, rods up, line slack, fish is gone. I mean, listen, these mates are here to help you catch fish. The captains are there to help you catch fish.
Hey, there's nobody that wants to catch fish more than Lenny and all of us. I mean, you know, in all, let's be honest, you know, the mates, we all make our money off of the fish that are in the boat, not the fish that get away. So, you know, it really comes down to, you know, we want to get those fish in the boat. It's a prideful thing. You know, we want to have as many fish as we possibly can. We want to beat this boat. We want to beat that boat, whatever it might be. And, you know, the guys that we have on the boat, we have a number of guys that just come tuna fishing,
right?
You know, as mates. You know, we have guys that have worked on the boats for, you know, like I said, 30 years, my brother, you know, some other guys that work on some of the scallop boats, you know, they're done for their season and they do this because it's a passion to them. They have that sickness of wanting to catch tuna. They want to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a guy, Joe, he makes, wind on leaders and, you know, just some of the knowledge that's available to our customers, if they want it, is immense. And, you know, again, it's that evolution. You know, there's guys that are, you know, guys that come, hey, I saw they're doing this. This is a new knot. This is, And it's like, I'm like, wow, I'm like, I didn't see that. You know, you know, you got to learn. And if you stop learning, you're basically treading water and you're going to end up sinking at some point. So you got to keep evolving, keep learning as you go. So, and the guys are there. So just utilize them as a resource.
Join us on the Rock and Fin line this morning, September 11th, is Captain Lou Van Berg and the big ass and beautiful Ms. Barnegat Light. The tuna season is on offshore on the party boats. I want to get into some of the party boat do's and don'ts. What, I mean, now tackle wise, the guys come on, they pretty much know the fares. They have their favorite tackle. So now you have tackle rental outfits available, correct?
Yes, we do. We do rentals for in the tuna rods. And we also, if we do mahi fishing or anything like that, we have that as well. You know, we pretty much, you know, as of late, you know, it's really been more, very, very few rentals, but, you know, we do have, you know, the traditional, you know, Penn Senator, mm-hmm. that's a workhorse that just, you know, catches fish after, I mean, I can't imagine how many fish these reels have caught over the years. You know, we do rent tackle out. The biggest do's and don'ts are, you know, with the use of braid, you know, when it first came out, a lot of party boats and charter boats were like, no braid, no braid, no braid. And we've kind of moderated on that. You know, we've seen the advantage of using the braid, you know, jigging, you know, you have the depth finder, braided line so that, you know, exactly, you know, when Captain Lenny says, hey, there's some fish coming on a boat at 120 feet. You know, you have that depth finder, you know, braid, you can put your jig at 120 feet, jig it once and boom, you're in.
You're in.
Whereas you're trying to get where your guys are trying to guess. You know, but we do ask that you only, we tell our people and we kind of enforce it. You know, if you're flatlining baits, you know, you can use braid. If you're jigging, if you're popping braid, no problem. If you're using it for, you know, you're putting, you know, 3 8-ounce egg sinkers on and putting it down at 120 feet in the middle of the night, you know, we ask that you have a top shot of mono just simply from a, more so from a tangle standpoint. And we all know, you know, everything in the fishing industry costs a lot of money. And the last thing we want to do is we don't want to cut out, you know, 60 yards of, you know, 60-pound, you know, Power Pro or whatever you're using. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unfortunately, when tangle happens, a tangle happens, and the fish is the one that gets priority. So if you get tangled in somebody else that's got a fish on there, we have to cut your line, we cut your line.
Captain Lou, on the Ms. Barnegat Light, what's your angler number? I know it's restricted for the tuna trips.
We limit it to 27 people. Everybody gets a bunk, and there's plenty of space. You know, if all the lines are going out one way or we're drifting, you know, there's room for everybody on the side. You're not, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder because we get a lot of big guys, but you know, they're all on that one side or across the stern, and it works out pretty well. But yeah, it's limited. I mean, and unfortunately for everybody that's listening, you know, we're sold out for the season right now. Yeah. You know, all our trips are booked, and you know, it's great for us. You know, the last couple of years, it's been you know, it's definitely been a better season, and it showed. You know, we told people, you know, go ahead and book, you know, when you can. And we have a couple guys that we have, you know, every weekend we're booked, you know, between now and the end of October. And those guys are on every single trip.
Oh yeah.
So we got some fanatics.
Well, let me ask you this though. Is it basically until the nighttime, because it's basically angler's choice. Guys come on. I want to flatline, let some chunks out. Other guys want to jig. Other guys want to pop if the fish come up top. What's the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, it just depends upon, you know, what's working. And, you know, we you know, kind of encourage everybody to try different things. You know, if we're reading fish and we're not getting bites on deep lines, then, you know, somebody should – flatlining is like it's kind of a – I wouldn't say it's an art, but it's kind of like most of the guys come on and they don't realize that that's going to be like a very, very effective way to do it. And, you know, you've got a long night, you know, maybe you don't have any bites for, you know, 4 hours or something like that. You know, you're waiting for them to basically go ahead and wake up and find your slick. You know, if you're just sitting there with your rod in the holder and it's down, you know, 120 feet and, you know, the squid are eating your baits and you're not checking your baits, then you're not really actively doing anything, you know? Right. And that's when guys are like, you know, they're sitting there on the bench and they start nodding off or they're, you know, it gets boring. It gets monotonous if nothing's going on. But if you're flatlining all the time, anything that's coming into the slick, you have a better chance of getting. Jigging, you know, it's really, you know, there's some guys I remember years ago that would do nothing but jig. And I mean, they could be a jigging machine to basically do that. And, you know, we did have guys that would do that. Now today it's really more so when people start to see the fish come under the boat. You know, if you're fishing bait already, it's a lot of guys don't want to grab, you know, reel in and grab their jigging rod. Right. But, whoever's chunk, one of our guys, whoever's chunking on the upwind side, you know, is always, you know, we're always throwing a jig in when we start to see fish. So if we start hooking up with some fish, all of a sudden you get some guys that are ready to jig. They go on the other side of the boat, and next thing you know, you got, you know, four or five fish on, and then everybody's looking for a jigging rod. So.
It's like bear hunting. You know, 90% of it's, you know, bored, just sitting. All of a sudden, holy bleep, you know.
Well, that's it. You know, we try to make everybody understand, you know, it's a long trip. It's 30 hours, but you know, as with anything, you know, you're excited about, you know, you're all pumped up and everything. So sleep is limited. You know, when we first get there, you know, whatever we decide to do, tilefish, mahi, or go right for tuna, you know, that starts at, let's say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then you're all the way around until the next day at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. to come back home. And it's a long, long, dark night, you know, and if there's not a lot of action, you know, guys, you know, sometimes you know, if it's cold out, if it's windy out, whatever it might be, you know, you end up with, you know, 20 guys inside and 7 guys still fishing. And then all of a sudden the bite happens and it's like you're wiping the sleep from your eyes. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, it's half over.
Right.
So it's definitely something you gotta stay at the rail. You gotta be persistent. You gotta take advantage of the time that you do have out there. So.
Hey, Joe's on the line, Captain Lou Van Berg and the Miss Barnegat Light Party Boat Tuna. It is on. It's going to go to the end of October. Last year at the Rex though, Lou, guys were out there fishing into December. It was sick.
Yeah, no, it's something we could definitely probably keep going. You know, the weather gets a little bit dicier and things like that, but the fish are still there. You know, they've been there into January some years, especially the longfin.
Lou, two things I want to mention, the tile. Now, maybe more anglers are doing it, taking advantage of it. This has been one incredible summer to me, it's early fall already. Not only the goldens, but the blue lines as well. I mean, some specimen fish, Southern Canyons, Northern Canyons, southwest corner of the Hudson. It's been insane.
Yeah, no, it's been a good year. I mean, that's good when we see that, because obviously it just gives us one more option, you know, when we're out there, you know, depending upon conditions and things like that. But when Lenny puts together the trip and, you know, the game plan, you know, that's all those things where are the pots at, you know, where are the pots holding any fish, you know, and we're like every other head boat, you know, we're in contact with guys that are out there in a week, the charter boats. And then of course, you know, we have a number of, longliners that are out of Barnegat Light. And if they're fishing local, you know, that becomes one more, you know, resource for us, you know, with Lenny's relationships with them, you know, he grew up with all those guys. So there's a lot of sharing of information, but yeah, the golden tiles and the blue lines they're in our crosshairs, hopefully. Cause I love fishing. I love when we go fishing for them. It's just a different experience, you know?
Well, Cap, one thing too, the great unknown, because they will just kick. I mean, the yellowfin will take your heart out, but you hook up, listen, you hook up on a big sword, especially at night, they will take your soul, your body, your mind. They can be killer, Lou. These things, they have fight in them from another universe, I think. You hit into a big sword down here. What's the deal? Guys move out. I mean, the guy that has the girl who has the sword hooked have, you know, run the boat. What's the deal?
Yeah, most of the time, you know, it is, if it's a bigger swordfish, you know, and they know, you know, pretty quick right away that it's a bigger fish, you know, we'll get most everybody out of the water. And most of the time, unfortunately, you know, if you do have a lot of yellowfin or tuna around the boat and you're seeing fish come under the boat, the minute you hook one of those swordfish, those fish are smart and they get out of there. So usually by that time, we don't really read a lot of fish that they're all worried about a sword, slash them in half down there, you know, not knowing that it's hooked up. But it's try to get as many people out of the water. And a lot of times if you know it's a big fish and it took a long run and it's straight up and down and it's just, you know, it's going on for hours plus.
I'm hurting, I mean, just talking about it, Lou.
No, I mean, I watch guys do it and they're like, hey, do you want to take the rod? I'm like, no. I was like, no, thanks. I don't get paid to reel the fish in. I get paid to gaff the fish in, you know. But yeah, it's I've seen some pretty tough guys get brought to their knees, and they want that. You know, we have a number of guys that come out and they you know, look for those squid. They catch a couple squid, or they bring you know, fresh squid. And you know, the minute we get anchored up and we're all set and ready to go out there, you know, they're putting that bait down 250 feet, 275 feet with a strobe on it or a light stick, and just wait.
That's it.
And you know, they're successful. The guys that do well with it all the time, you know, they come with us. They're they're successful because they paid attention to the little details. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it sounds silly, but, you know, guys wiping their leaders down with alcohol wipes, you know, just making sure every knot or every crimp would, you know, some guys crimp their stuff when they do the swordfish, some guys knot it. It's a whole nother ballgame.
Sure.
But you got, like you said, you know, the bigger fish that you see caught, you know, there's a reason you don't see a lot of big fish caught like that, because they just usually win the battle. Right. You know, there's the gladiators out there, and, you know, most of the time you get destroyed by the gladiators. So.
Speaking of Captain Lou Van Bergen, it's Barnacle Lou. We're up against the harbor. Before I let you go, the end game, Lou, the fish are gaffed or on the boat. What happens then?
So when we bring the fish up, we tell them, you know, if you want to take a picture, take a picture. And then we process the fish. We basically collar the fish, you know, for quality. Mm-hmm. As well as storage space. You know, we take the heads off, we take the entrails out, it cools the fish down, we put it into a brine tank. We have four big tanks, or we have two big tanks on the boat mm-hmm. that are filled with ice, and freshwater ice and salt water, and that cools the fish down right away. We leave them in there as long as we can, mm-hmm. But if we have a really good bite, you know, we'll let them sit in there, and then we have to basically empty out the tank, then we put them on ice to store them, you know, like cordwood. And then, when we get back, and then the only problem, you know, that we've tried to, and I know a lot of people have tried to, you know, get this changed, is we have to wait to cut any fish until we get back to the dock.
Exactly.
Because of federal regulations. So, mm-hmm. you know, if we catch 10 mahi a person, or we catch a bunch of mahi, you know, we got to wait till we get back to the dock. We wait with all the tunas and the swordfish, everything else, golden tilefish. So, you know, we basically preserve the fish. I mean, you know, you're gonna walk off that fish with a fish of great quality, or walk off the boat with a great quality fish, mm-hmm. Simply because of the way that we take care of it.
Captain Lou, thanks for joining us on Rockfin Listeners Party Boat Tune. Unfortunately, the Ms. Barnacle Light is sold out, but there are other options out there. And Lou, I'll tell you, you guys kick ass again and again, and I hope you're gonna have a great tuna season. I just feel it in my bones, man. And believe me, listeners, full disclosure here, the longest I last on a swordfish, 6 minutes. And that, Lou, that was the longest 4 minutes after the first two I ever experienced. And that's even being hit by nuns in grammar school.
Oh, boy.
Lou, you take care. Have a great fall season. We'll see you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Sarah, be good. Way long on that segment. Way long. But, hey, Party Boat Tuna. People, try it. You will just, the big Jamaica. Shout out to Captain Howard Bogan up there. It's a bit of a ride, but you'll do it up there in Brielle. Big Jamaica doing several other boats. Get on Google, get online. And be in shape, people. Because these fish, these yellowfin especially, I mean, you're talking fish sometimes topping 100 pounds. They will kick your ass. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rockin' Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
College football Saturdays at Chickies and Pete's are on. Chickies and Pete's, your favorite local sports bar. Enjoy the college football $5 game day menu every Saturday starting at 11 a.m. World famous crab fries, tasty roast pork sandwiches, Chickies boneless wings, and more. Plus Coors Light and Blue Moon ice cold draft beer specials. Every college football Saturday at all Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's is a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles and the official caterer of Eagles training camp and the First Trust Bank Club at Lincoln Financial Field.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of September 11th and 12th. That was Captain Lou Van Bergen, Miss Barnacolite, Party Boat Tuna. Hey, as I said in the opening segment, Happy New Year to all when the season opens. In the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio indeed calls for a New Year's celebration. Archery season in select DMZs around the state is open today. Now, Canada goose season is going on. Railbird season, I love my mud hens, is going on. Crow season is going on. Woodchuck season is going on. A lot of hunting going on. And now we have the October trout fishing happening. We have the marine fishing is going nuts. We have the bluefish. We have the flounder. Freshwater scene. We got bass. We got pickerel. We got crappies. We got yellow perch. And down there in the southwestern part of the snakeheads. And let's get to the dark side of things. You are, unless Hey, it's one in a million. You are going to witness, intentionally or unintentionally, fishing and hunting violations, okay? Lawbreakers, it happens. And the Division of Fish and Wildlife has a great program, Operation Game Thief. Hey, man, the poachers, they're crooks. I don't want to hear, oh, the fish is going to die anyway. You're limp, for example, if it's going to be four fish for the trout. You got four, you're done. Catch and release, don't, no. Oh, it's going to die anyway. No. Resource belongs to all of us. Those of us who obey and those who disobey, it really gets my ass in the air on that. Joe's on the line right now, very special guest, Captain Ann Quirk. She's with the Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Law Enforcement. I want to talk briefly, Operation Game Thief, and also, New Avenue, social media. When you see something on social media that's a violation, what to do? Captain, thanks for joining us on very short notice on Rack and Fin. How is your late summer going?
Oh, very busy. Thanks for having me, Tom.
I know. I tell you, this CEO's been there everywhere and anywhere, it seems. Well, Captain, on the Operation Game Thief, now this program's been around in Jersey. It was patterned after New Mexico, like 78, 79. It's been in Jersey, early 80s. It has been successful. There are rewards offered. You may be eligible for a reward. What's involved? You see a violation. What do you do on the Operation Game Thief end?
We have a hotline. It's staffed 24/7. The number is 855-OGT-TIPS that calls into our dispatch center in Trenton. And they'll walk you through asking you for your observations. The more details you can give us, the best, the better. People can be anonymous, but it's always helpful if we have a callback number so that the officer can get more details. So that's what, you know, if you need to be anonymous, we understand that, but understand that there's always a better chance for a positive outcome if we can call the tipster back and get more details for what's going on.
Captain, the success rate of prosecution, I hear this more than a dozen, but fewer than 100, but a lot. Well, my call ain't going to make a difference. And I call in and it's the CO never gets there, blah, 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 blah. You hear this. But isn't it worth to make that call anyway?
Well, as you know, we are spread very thin, but we rely on the sportsmen out there to be our eyes and ears. And we do try and, you know, get to the spot as quickly as possible. If somebody gives us a license plate or a vessel registration and we can't make it, we certainly enter that into our little notebook of people to look for in the future. So sometimes even if it doesn't pay out at that moment, that person may get their comeuppance down the road.
Well, Captain, you see that a reward may be available or something. How does that work? Again, anonymity. Okay, that goes a long way. But where does reward money come from?
The reward money is from our partners in the Operation Game Thief program. The New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Club actually have a reward fund. So when a case is successfully prosecuted, we contact that Sportsmen's Federation board and explain to them how intricate the case was, how important the information that the people gave us, and the value of the resource that was stolen from the people all go into the tabulation of what the reward will be.
Well, Captain, I just saw my notes here that you can make a tax-deductible donation. Is that still in effect?
I believe it is. Now, that is through the Sportsman's Federation, right. And I believe if people go to their website, there's information on how to contact them to contribute.
Captain Quirk, insofar as getting a call, you know, you receive a call, dispatcher, she goes on the way, what basically transpires? I mean, travel time involved, we get that apprehension, you know, observation, apprehension. Is it cases where it's a 1-2-3 bang, we got you thing, or that'll lead to an investigation or continued investigation down the road that may take a few weeks, a couple of months, and then the person is nailed from that initial phone call? Does that happen?
That is a great question, and it depends on what's going on. So if someone calls and tells us, you know, I'm on the T jetty in Atlantic City and I see somebody sneaking short fish back to their car, obviously that's going to be something we're going to address right then and there. Mm-hmm. One of our biggest, most successful cases from last year was observed an individual dragging a large antler buck out of a greenway behind a strip mall in Cherry Hill. Obviously, they said something doesn't seem right here. And in that instance, the person was with the deer was gone by the time our officer was able to connect with the caller. But our officers continued to work that case for a couple of months. And in as it turned out, that individual ended up surrendering, I believe it was 8 deer that were harvested illegally over the past 2 to 3 years.
Holy smokes. Now, and another thing we also hear, Captain Quirk, is that, well, and I know it has to go through the legislature, I guess, retired CO Joe Kuchar, Kuch, as we knew him up there, up in Union County, Essex, Hudson, Joe was all over the place up there, was that the fines have to be, I guess, put through the legislature, any increase? I mean, are the fines monetarily enough deterrent or no?
Well, I think the sportsmen would have to ask themselves that. When a fine for, say, an over-the-limit trout is only $20 and people know we're spread thin, is that a deterrent?
Right.
The other thing that is a deterrent is people need to keep in mind if they have 2 convictions within 5 years, they lose their privileges for 2 years. And they're entered into the wildlife violator compact, which means if they go hunting PA or they go fish in Florida, it's going to catch up to them. Pennsylvania and Florida and 47 other member states will also recognize that license suspension.
Oh, fantastic on that one. Hey, good, man. Far-reaching, but Tom Pete, far-reaching. Come on, it's easy. Don't break the law. Just don't break the law. It's that simple. Okay, Captain, before I let you go, on the social media, which sometimes I hate it, sometimes, for the most part, I realize the value what it does have. You see something posted, one with where these people's heads up there, who knows? And you see an obvious violation posted. What do you do?
The most important thing we need somebody to do before they even call the OGT tip line is take a screenshot. A lot of times, whoever posted that image of the illegal activity gets called out and the image is deleted and it's gone forever. Or it's posted in a group that is not public access and we would have no way to look at it to start the investigation. So if people can take a screenshot, email it to the officer once they're contacted, that is a huge help. We do work cases from social media. We have made cases from social media.
Right.
And it's certainly an emerging trend because I think some of the violators who are looking for recognition just can't help themselves.
You said that. You hit that on the head, Captain. Captain Ann Quirk, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Law Enforcement. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. This is Operation Game Thief. Listen to what the captain says. Get involved. They're stealing the resources from you, from me, from your children, from your grandchildren. It's just the thing to do. Operation Game Thief. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. All the information, if you want to see it, is on there. There's a section there on Operation Game Thief. Captain, thanks for joining us. You take care. Have a great fall season. It is going to be busier than all get out. I realize that. Just be safe out there, okay?
Well, thanks so much. You too, Tom.
Take care, Cap. Little full disclosure, if you want to call it that. I met, then it was CO Quirk way back when. I think it was the late 90s, early 2000s. Shout out to him. I miss him dearly. My friend Ralphie Nalepka, Millstone Sports Shop up there in Somerset County. Deer checking time. I think it was Shotgun Week or something. And CO shows up. I think her last name was Ann Paul at the time. And I'll tell you, just rapping with the hunters out there, just really. Really was a friend of the sports, with nothing confrontational. She was great, absolutely great. Ralphie said, that's the coolest CO I know. And all these years, now she is a captain. Good for her. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Today, America will honor the heroes of 9/11. Those fallen and alive.
So hard, whether it's the first year or the 20th.
But this milestone 20th anniversary of the deadliest terror attack ever on U.S. soil comes clouded by a pandemic and the echoes of a frantic withdrawal from Afghanistan. Still, President Biden tells Americans unity is the lesson from 9/11.
Unity is the one thing that must never break. Unity is what makes us who we are. America at its best.
The President and First Lady will travel to all 3 9/11 sites, the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Pennsylvania. And COVID deaths in the U.S. soared by more than 4,400 yesterday. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, clear and cool, low 54. On Saturday, there can be some fog around for a while in the morning, otherwise sunny and pleasant, the high around 80. Clear and comfortable Saturday night, low 64. Sunday, mostly sunny, breezy, becoming warm and more humid, high 83. Rather warm and humid Monday with some sun, high 84. I'm AccuWeather Skara Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And let's get to some fishing reports here. What is going on? September, the transition month. Everything is happening. Now, after that storm, what was that, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever? The feed bags are on. We got 9 days left, 10 days left, whatever, in the flounder season. It's going to be a gap 28 days. They'll see bass owners, but they're still the fluke, especially the flighties, man. They are on the chow. Stripers are really starting to hit, especially those schoolies up in the Mullica, Great Egg Harbor Bay back there by the Parkway Bridge. Whoa, we got some bass there and some other places as well. Farther south, a little bit farther north, up there at Barnegat Inlet. Whoa, get those Yuzuri crystal minnows or those Daiwa SP minnows up along those rocks. Going to be one turn of the reel handle, man. Bang! They are coming out. Join us online right now. Captain Dave, the Rave, Show of Obsika Bay, Sports on 81 Natalie Terrace in Obsika with a quick fishing report. Captain Dave, what's happening your way, brother?
Well, like you said, everything's happening. This transition, it's beautiful outside. You can go outside without sweating, without worrying about greenheads. Yeah, they all leave it when Labor Day. Yeah. They're the same as Shoebies. And guess what? The bays are empty.
Uh-huh.
You got some ocean boats out there, but the reefs are plenty big for the few that run out there.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, the flounder's great right today. It's going to be a little iffy. We've had some breeze yesterday. Was out of the northwest. We're making a transition over to the south today. Hopefully, you're already out on those reefs because it should be calm right this minute, but it might pop up a little bit this afternoon, and tomorrow's looking mm-hmm. iffy. But if you're going out and you're outside, I hope you catch some big ones because there's plenty out there. There's still plenty of big ones inside. Everybody, the big problem on the inside is there's so much bait. It's like the smorgasbord, and you're trying to match a hatch. But it's like seeing you at the buffet, Tom. What are you going to grab today? I know you're going to grab a little of everything, but you got to match the hatch. Peanut bunker are everywhere's. And that's going to be one of the number one on most fish's menu if they're big enough to, if they attack live bait. The finger mullet, I haven't seen way back here in the creek. I haven't even had a chance to go out and hunt for them. But the finger mullet are prime bait if you can get them. You mm-hmm. put them in front of them. They're spot everywhere. It's a lot of big spot, not too many smaller ones, but... Yeah, there's big spot around. They're good bait and good for dinner too. What do you call them, Tom?
I call them Lafayettes. There's other guys call them bait. Lafayettes. When I was down in Louisiana, I'd say they ate them like I eat bluegills or crappies. Dave, they're excellent. I know people look at me. You're eating bait. I said, yeah, well, I eat escargot too, and that's bait.
I ain't used many escargots for bait, but
Dave, the freshwater snails for bull. Oh, is that legal? Can I do it for bullheads? Oh, man, you crush them up, throw a handful out, throw some on the hook, you'll get bullheads all night. But that's another story. I digress. Dave, what about the bass up in the back? That's been some pretty good biting going on, man.
Oh, I was almost trying to keep that quiet because the stripers are, unreal. It's still an early and late bite. Get those when those high tides coincide with the With first light or last light, it is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. With all this bait around, it's in the low light conditions with poppers. But beyond that, these fish are up and attacking these schools of peanut bunker, in the rivers, daily at any time. When that school comes by, you'll see birds, and everything isn't little. They're not all bluefish. When you see birds on the water, they ain't all bluefish. They ain't all little. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of over 28-inch keepers. And if you haven't got your bonus tag and you like to eat stripers, and who doesn't like to eat stripers?
Get it.
Get it now, yep. Because there's plenty of those 24 to 28 inches around, and somebody, you know, I don't know. I still hear people will sit there and tell me to my face that the stripers are the same as they were in 1990. Well, I was here in 1990, mm-hmm. and you couldn't catch a striper in these right. rivers, and you can catch it now from the bay side. The surf is turning on with the stripers. This month, there is going to be a mullet run, and when those mullet run at the beach, you're going to have some fantastic striper fishing off of the surf. So,
right.
And you got to be there to catch them. So get out and do the looking, do the footwork, do the boat work, and find them and have mm-hmm. fun.
Dave, before I let you go, one of the secrets out there, because we're doing pretty well with them too. Dave, the white perch, man, they got the feed bags on too. Mary Mother of God.
I don't know what's happened in the last about 3 years that it's been a constant increase in the number of white perch and. Mm-hmm. And anywhere you ever heard of white perch, there are jumbos. You know, the Absecon mm-hmm. Creek is, well, when I was a kid, you know, 12, 15 years old, you know, I go down to my mom's dock and I caught plenty of them there. And it's as good or better than it was way back then. And that was a long time ago. But seriously, the white perch, we still got crabs shedding and I still got soft shells. Tom, if you want to know that, the crabs are shedding. So the number one perch bait is shedder crabs. And beyond that, if you can catch the grass shrimp, you know, I've been here for 30 some odd years and I haven't figured how to catch and keep grass shrimp yet. So I ain't going to worry about that this year.
Okay. Listen, before I let Captain Dave go, the one thing you mentioned about the buffet at a buffet once, I was a JCA tour something. We're at the casino. Dave said to me, I says, hey, Tom P, you think you can fit a third plate on that arm? You remember that thing? Oh, man, eyes are rolling on that one. Hey, Cap, before I let you go to another thing, on the crabbing, the crabbing's been phenomenal this year. I mean, you got your slow period sheds, new moon, whatever, but it's been off the charts. What's happening down your way with the blue claws?
Well, plenty of them right now. You know, the shed is slowing down. And it's time that all the blue claws, all they're thinking about is fattening up so they can get through. They can get through the winter. So all the rest of this month and really October is the prime time.
Oh yeah,
time. They're all feeding. They're not worrying about loving like most of the summer. They take breaks and. Yeah, they go on exotic vacations with their girlfriends, but now they're eating. You can get them in the traps. You can get them in. You know, it's a load of people going out here, but there's plenty of crabs. Actually, the commercial guys. Well, they slow up because the market slow up, and one of the reasons the market slow up is because the they're so easy to catch and there's so many around. You should take advantage of it. Get out before the football games. Go catch up a half a bushel of crabs and put them out to eat during the game. Man, you got it. Yeah, that makes a hell of a day.
Yeah, Captain Dave, we'll see you this week, man. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be here. I'm as always taking care of you.
We'll see, you, brother. Bye. It's wrapping up with Big Johnny Grimco down there. Fanatics. Marine Supply. West Avenue in Ocean City. I said, I hear some now the surf's calm down. Little kingfish on the surf. May have some bass in the back. And still some flounder around Big Johnny. What's happening, brother?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, big guy?
Oh, crazy, man. It's the time. Everything's coming together.
Oh, yeah. And everything's coming together, but everything's closing down, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. We still got, some nice flounders still in the bay.
All right.
You know, the reefs are doing good, but the bay's, still fine. 3 to 5 pounders still around the bridges on the way out the inlet. The guys that want to go out, don't want to go out and make the trip can still find fish.
Now, were they hitting them on gulp or peanut bunker, finger mullet? What's the dealio?
Some of the guys are hitting them on peanut bunker. Other guys are using spot, live spot. You know, I had a nice 9.5 pounder last week.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. So, you put your time in, you're going to get rewarded. On the beachfront, we got the king still in the surf when the wind's not blowing. Spot have been around. Got report of birds diving in the surf. Nobody's telling me what's underneath them yet, but should be some bluefish starting to show. Maybe we'll even get a few, stray albies running.
Oh, John, what about Schooley and Keeper, the 24 to 28 with the bonus egg and bigger, Bass in the Back, the ICW down Corson's, anything?
Yeah, they're all over, Corson's behind Sea Isle. A lot of bass, even up behind Ocean City here, you don't have to go as far down at Corson's. You fish those sod banks and stuff around the edges and the shadow lines of the bridges in the morning and the evening. There's plenty of bass around.
John, poppers, plugs, or what's the deal?
Jig heads, paddle tail shads, poppers. You know, the guys are catching them, however they like. I've had a few guys throwing flies.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It's that, listen, it's that time of year, man. The feed bags are on. If you looked at my girth, you would say, Tom P., you're right. John, we'll see you guys this week. You take care, man.
All right, man. See ya. You have a good one.
Up against the break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
The Honda Summer Sales Event is on at Boardwalk Honda. Right now, lease a new 2021 Honda CR-V Special Edition All-Wheel Drive Automatic for $269 a month. We have it all from store to shore. Plus, we'll buy your vehicle. Any make, model, or year, we're paying top dollar. Visit Boardwalk Honda, located in Egg Harbor Township, and online at BoardwalkHonda.com. And remember, from Maine to Miami, nobody beats a Boardwalk deal. Boardwalk Honda. Call us toll-free at 844-890-3390 for more details.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of September 11th and 12th. Lest we forget. Remember, 20 years ago, I know exactly where I was when I saw that second plane hit tower. And how many people, we'll never forget, have forgotten. Or the young people out there, the social justice warriors, 17, 18, 19, 20, especially 18, 19, 20, who can vote, right? They don't remember it. They don't even want to know about it. In fact, I wonder if we're even taught about it in school. Well, we shall see. Hopefully this November House and Senate elections, we will right the ship. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy. Happy New Year to all! Opening of early bow season in select DMZs around the state. Meat is on the hoof. Go and get it. Plenty of fish around. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and 1450.